Hey, everybody. This is McKinley Mark. Welcome to the Carrot Cast.
Hey, guys and gals. This is Trevor, and I've got my sidekick here with me today, McKinley, my oldest daughter. Do you have anything else to say, McKinley? No? She's just shaking her head no. So McKinley's a little performer, and believe it or not, she's 6.5 years old. Actually, more than 6.5 now, because you're going to be 7 when?
August.
She's going to be 7 very, very soon, within weeks. So she's here in the office. We're getting ready to head out. And she's like, I want to help be a part of that podcast. So she did, I think it was like episode 2, she helped me introduce. And now this is episode 60 of the Carrot Cast and bringing her back in. So anyway, we've got a pretty interesting episode of the Carrot Cast for you today. And it's a topic we've never really talked about in this way, but it's one that's so crazy important to life, not just as an entrepreneur, not just in real estate, but life in general. And I kind of want you to raise your hand behind the scenes here, whether you're in the shower or driving your car or listening to this while you're working out or something like that. Kind of raise your hand. Did you start being an entrepreneur or doing whatever you're doing because you want a better lifestyle? Did you start it because you want more happiness? Did you start it because you want more fulfillment in what you do? Well, what we're going to talk about today hopefully hits some of you square between the eyes and gets you to change some things in the way that you look at yourself, the way that you look at life. And I've got my guest on today, Sherry Ame, and she has been through some amazing things. She's going to tell you about her life story, about when she literally died, and she was dead for 90 minutes. And that's not a near-death experience, as they would say. She actually did die. And she's going to walk you through how she came back to life, all the efforts that the doctors took her through, her rehabilitation, being in a coma for 3 months, and what changed in her life and her mindset after that versus the way that she lived before. Okay. Because it's a stark, stark, stark difference. And there's so many of us that muffle what we're doing in our lives today, that aren't letting the true us come out, that don't truly love us and put the real us out to the world, that she can help unlock some of that for you. Okay. So we're going to introduce you here to Sherry here in a second and tell you about the book that she's got and find resources for. You can dive in and learn more about her story. Nothing to sell here, guys and gals. We just thought that at least if one person listens to this and it hits you square between the eyes and changes the way you think about life and sets you on a new path, it was completely worth it. Okay. Listen to this episode and check out the other episodes at carrotcast.com. And also, I want to toss out a huge, huge, huge appreciation to everybody in the past month that went over to iTunes and gave us a rating and review. You basically doubled the amount of ratings and reviews that we had with the episode with Jack Bosch. There's 30 something reviews came in after that one episode. And I'm so grateful for everyone who took the 5 minutes to go over there and kind of give us your piece. Tell us what you loved about it. Tell us what, how it was changing things in your life. That's like oxygen. That's what fuels me to do these more and more. So if you're enjoying the Carrot Cast, let me know what you're liking about it over there with a review on iTunes and a comment on our blog if this is where you're watching it. All right. Without further ado, welcome in Sherry Ame. Hey guys and gals, this is Trevor with Carrot. And one thing that I really, really enjoy about the Carrot Cast, and it was kind of one of my main intentions when we started this podcast, about a year ago now, that you guys have heard on the Carrot Cast, my non-negotiables in life. We did an episode on that. You guys have heard on the Carrot Cast, you know, how we build business with intention and a heart and real core values behind it. And the reason we do that, and the reason I preach that stuff so much, and the reason I have my guest on today, is because there's so much more to life than business. We hear it all the time, where it's, you know, people are working they're working themselves to death, which is kind of a funny metaphor to what we're going to be talking about today. But they're working themselves to death, trying to grow their business when they don't really have a life outside of business. And I think it's something that a lot of us forget, that there's a finite time here. You know, there's a finite time that we have on this physical place that we call Earth. And a lot of the times it takes a moment. It takes something happening to us or someone that we love that's close to us to change things. So we start to see things with more urgency. So we start to see things through a different lens, and we start to make those things that are actually important, important again. And I want this podcast to be a moment for you in your life that if you're not at a spot in your life where you want to be, if you're not at a spot in your life where you feel charged and you feel that there is a mission and purpose for you, and you feel that everything that you're doing on a weekly, daily basis is feeding toward making a better world, I want this to be that moment. I'm going to introduce my guest to you, and she has a great story. You can go find her book. We'll tell you where to find it. And she's not a conventional Carrot Cast guest, and I think that's a great thing. She's not a real estate investor. We're not going to talk about lead generation, although she's really great at it. We're going to be talking about what did she go through in her life, a near-death experience. You're going to tell it, but it wasn't a near-death experience. You died. And there's a lot of perspective. So I'm going to bring you on right now. But Sherry, welcome on the Carrot Cast. Glad to have you.
Oh, thank you, Trevor. And thank you, everybody listening and watching. It is an absolute honor to be here today. And I have to say, I did listen to that podcast of your non-negotiables. And that's when I was like, this is going to be a great, great episode chatting with you. So cool. Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on.
Sweet. I love it. So we've got about 30 minutes here, and I'm excited about kind of unpacking some stuff. So what I'd like to do right now is let's give people some perspective for who you are and kind of what is it, you know, what was that defining moment in your life that has led to what you're doing today in this new perspective that you have? What is that defining moment?
I mean, that moment was literally the day I died. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no other way I can put it. And you're right. It wasn't a near-death tragedy. I literally died. I had sudden cardiac arrest. I was at the height of my career. I was for years, I was a lead tech programmer and, helped to build startup companies, digital tech startup companies, was massive in advertising firms, building, multi-million dollar sites and so on. And I had left to become CEO of my own tech firm, which was my dream. Mm-hmm. And while it achieved really instant success, right at the height of it, I experienced sudden cardiac arrest and lost literally everything, Trevor, overnight.
It's really interesting. So you're obviously a young and beautiful lady. Is there a history with heart issues? Kind of how did that happen, or is it a complete fluke that it came into being?
Yeah. Now I had had about a year or so prior. I had had a previous health condition that was taken care of. Mm-hmm. But I think due to treatment and some complications, it just somehow it ended up affecting my heart. And so what really ended up happening was very, very quickly, within maybe a matter of 3 weeks, my heart just went into heart failure. Mm. And it just was undiagnosed because I looked great. Yeah. And so it just, nobody caught it. And within 3 weeks, was the crash. So, that's pretty much what happened.
So what was that? And I want to put people almost in the emotional state. And I'm very intentional with this because, Tony Robbins says it. It's so true though. A lot of people say it, that oftentimes in order to make change, we need to change our emotions around that. And there's so many people listening to this podcast that haven't done that yet with certain parts of their life. That's so important and so important that you need this moment to change your life. I have those. We all have those things we need to work on. How did that day start for you? I'm sure it started like any other day, but kind of walk me through that day and then walk me through the next moment that you remember after the incident happened.
Well, interestingly enough, I don't remember the day I died.
Yeah.
So that's really weird in itself. But I hear stories of what happened, but I can tell you what happened the night before. Mm-hmm. And I, for about, the week prior to literally, I flatlined in my husband's arms when I died. And, the week prior I started getting this, I don't want to say it was like a physical voice, but I started getting this message in my head, like, you're dying. Like nobody's catching it, but you're dying. So I had already begun this process mentally and emotionally of literally preparing that this was my end. I didn't know it would be a week, but I knew it was the end. And when you asked me what was going through my head, it was like, it's so hard to describe, but I remember being like, I was an A student my whole life. I went to a great college. I worked my butt off, you know, for like corporations and different companies. And I worked so hard, but I always put myself last. You know what I mean? Yeah. I always put myself last. And I was literally like, I mean, I was like the queen of people pleasing. So, you know, the day before I died, I actually had this moment where I just started bawling my eyes out, like wailing from the, it came from the depths of my soul, Trevor. It wasn't like just a regular like sadness. It was like a soul depth. You know, you lived this life incorrectly to who you are type of cry.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So emotional. So emotional. And I had to make peace in that moment and up to the moment that I went to sleep that night that I had messed up. I had lived my life incorrectly to what I deserve and what my birthright is as a human being on this planet, because I had spent so much time listening to others that were trying to keep me small.
Yep.
So it was regret. Like, I mean, there's no other way I can say it. Like, when you hear about the top 10 regrets of the dying, I experienced that, Trevor. And that is something that is on the forefront of my mind every morning that I wake up now. Because it's such a blessing for me to even still be alive. They could not resuscitate me. So they tried CPR. They were ready to call my time of death, first of all, within 5 to 10 minutes, ready to call my time of death. And it was one man, one doctor in that emergency room that said, you know, I'm not losing her. And he literally instructed everybody else. It was such a nightmare in there that the emergency medical staff didn't even actually know how to save my life. That's how bad it was. And he just instructed everybody to continue CPR long enough for him to figure out what to do with me.
Gotcha.
So they did this CPR for over 90 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? I mean, that's just unheard of.
It is.
Right? It's completely unheard of. And it was during that time that he was able to install this temporary life support device. Many, many miracles happened. I was shipped off to another hospital, New York Presbyterian Hospital in New York City, that's associated with Columbia University. And they just happened to, I mean, literally, like, their tagline is like, amazing things are happening here. Like, I am walking miracle. So they were able to save my life. I ended up, I was in a coma for 3 months. I, on a bionic heart. So literally, I still had no heartbeat.
Like, wow.
My story is absolutely insane. Yeah. But to really get to the heart of it, what it took to save my life was going from the ICU for 3 months in a coma on a bionic heart to then the FDA had just approved a portable version of that bionic heart. So I went home on a portable bionic heart device that literally had to plug into the wall, like my cell phone. Yeah,
oh my
it was
gosh.
Crazy, crazy. I mean, talk about a crazy life. And I lived like that for about 5 years. I was able to be mobile and leave the house because it had batteries. So similar to your phone, you could actually put batteries in it. And I lived like that for 5 years while I waited for a new heart, because I was basically in, at this point, end stage heart failure. And, you know, and I eventually had a heart transplant 2 years ago. And, you know, now you're seeing me basically, you know, building my brand, blowing it up and doing a lot of great things with my life. But I learned so much during that time. I mean, you know, I mean, we can talk about whatever you want from here.
Yeah,
but,
I definitely want to unpack certain parts of that because to me, there's match. So it was about 7 years ago, I take it, adding those numbers up, right? So there's some magic in there. And I know the message I want to get across to people, myself included, is I don't want an incident like Sherry had to go through to be that trigger point to change your life. And I want to walk through some of those shifts that you had to make. And I've read a lot of the content you've got out there and heard your story and you're mentally down and out for a phase where you're going, man, how am I going to go and do X now? Because I've got this, you've got this kind of cloud hanging over me now. How do I do that? So you mentioned before, before you had the incident, and I'm just going to refer to it as the incident from now on. But before you had the incident, you had already kind of mentally started to come to terms, I guess you could say, that you're not going to be around much longer. You didn't really know how long, and you had this regret. At what point after the incident happened, did that regret, did that, oh my gosh, you know what? It's not regret now. It's I still have a chance to turn this around. When did that happen through the process?
I can tell you that happened while I was on life support.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So when I was attached to a ventilator, so I couldn't breathe on my own, when I literally lost the ability to do, I couldn't talk. Okay. I could not breathe. I could not move from the bed. I was trapped in the bed. I could not hold a pen. I could not hold a phone. I had to communicate by moving my lips until I was rehabilitated enough to gain some mobility in my hand. It was that moment that I laid there for, 3 months in and out of the coma, staring at a wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was my life, staring at fluorescent walls above my bed in the ICU for three months.
Yeah.
That was the moment that I said, if by some miracle I survive and I get out of here, it's game on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is no way I will relive my life the way the majority of people are living their lives.
Gosh, that right there, I am not to the degree, of course, that you experienced. But this is probably 5-6 years ago that and I've talked about a lot of stuff in that time frame. That we all have to have that moment where you almost, pardon my French, you almost start saying, I don't give a shit what other people think about me or this situation. This is me. I've got to be me. Who am I, first of all? You know, because like you said earlier, that there's all of these influences, people outside, whatever, that oftentimes we start to use to shape our perception of who we are. And then all of a sudden, we don't know who the heck we are. And was it during that phase you started to really learn who you were and kind of come into your own? And who are you now? Like, who are you now? And how does that contrast to where you were before?
Yeah. I love this question. I love this conversation. Yeah, gosh, it's so powerful. It was in that silence. It was in the silence and no longer having the external world flashing commercials in front of me, flashing people's opinions, just everything that shapes our, we don't even realize all the ways that we are just bombarded every day.
Mm-hmm.
Even sometimes our family and our loved ones, they want certain things for us and maybe that's not who we are. I mean, and it's hard. You don't want to let people down and especially family. So in that silence, in the ICU, they always say like in the hospital, you want the TV on? I was like, no. And I remember at one point they're like, do you want to watch like the Kardashians? I was like, no, definitely not. because it was about me. What I learned on life support was to save my life. All right. And this is a metaphor for whatever it is you're going through right now. Yep. Okay. Because everybody is going through some type of challenge, in one form or another. I learned that to get through my own issues, my own struggles. I needed every ounce of my soul's reserves, mm-hmm. my energy, my focus, my health, the cellular, you know, molecular makeup of my body. I needed everything.
Yeah.
And you can't have that when you're so focused on what everybody else is doing or what everybody else thinks of you.
Yep. Exactly.
So I learned in that moment how to actually apply that even now. Mm. Even now in business, even now in putting myself out there. Like I'm really, you know, putting myself out there on a big scale.
Yep.
In front of the world. That's scary for a lot of
people. It is.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that was terrifying for me. So I come back to that and I remind myself, because that time, that quiet time by myself without the distractions, allowed me to get to, you know, the core of who I am, which is, you know, what you're asking, you know, who am I, you know, and I got clear and I realized at the heart of it, I'm a beautiful soul that wants very few things in life, very few things. I love inspiring people. Mm-hmm. I love sharing what makes me happy and seeing that lift somebody's mood or put a smile on somebody that's having a struggle. Like, I got so simplified in what makes me happy and who I am. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about anything outside of me.
Yeah.
It was about what's my personality like, you know, what's my, am I quiet? Like, I'm a very actually quiet person. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much an introvert. I learned to be outspoken, to be on stages and stuff, yeah, and on television. But I'm a very quiet person. And, when I realized that, I realized that what I just wanted to do was inspire people.
Yeah.
Now, whether you're doing that with real estate because you're putting somebody in a home and you get to see the big smile on their face when they close the deal, or you're an entrepreneur, you know, building a digital tech firm, whatever it is, if it puts a smile in your heart and on your face and on the faces of others, own that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Own that space and be proud of that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I learned that it has nothing to do with whether you leave and form your own company or whether you're in a company. You can still take charge of who you are, mm-hmm, and use that to the best ability that you can to be the best employer, the best entrepreneur, the best mother, the best wife, you know, the best husband. It's really about tapping into who you are. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I believe the best way to do that is to get still.
Yep.
So for people with busy lives, you have to just make it a priority. Just like brushing your teeth, you have to make it a priority that you will get still, mm-hmm, because your life depends on it.
So you, I'm going to unpack that a little bit here. And I'm so glad you're saying this. A couple things popped in my mind that, same thing. I went through similar things in that theme, you know, a different incident, made it occur, but the getting still part, right? That's so common in today's age where we've got these darn cell phones. We've got all these different things up here. You've got messages coming at you everywhere. And what people often do, and I am also guilty of this. I've got three kids, 2, 4, and 6. And when your own kid says, "Dad, please put the phone away," you know, you shouldn't have been on it. Right. And so how do you become still in a world that has stuff everywhere? First question. Second thing, and before, actually let's answer that first, because then I have this passage from an interview that you recently had that I really love this passage and some things that you said. But how do you become still if you're not forced to be because you're sitting in a hospital bed?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a great question, because you know, it's a mindset thing. Mm-hmm. And that's really, you know, how did I survive life support? I mean, do you know how many patients have been either just as bad as me or not even as dire a condition, that did not survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it's not easy to fight for your life. Now, whether you, and I mean that, whether you're sitting in the ICU or whether fighting for your life, like you're sitting in your living room and you have a choice of watching the television for the next 2 hours or actually turning that off and fighting for your life by making a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We see, we all have the ability to make a choice. We all have that right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's whether you're going to make the choice to walk down this path of the path of saying my life is worth it, my family's life is worth it, or you're going to make the other choice and mm-hmm. say I'm not worth it.
Yep. It's gosh, that's such a, so that's a really, really good lead into this passage. We're talking about really owning yourself and how that is one of the first most important steps that we've all got to take to be not just happy. You know, we hope that starting businesses and doing whatever your business does, whether it's real estate or whatever else, you hope that that's going to make you happier. But I know a lot of people who have a ton of money who are completely miserable, and you hear it all the time. I mean, we've seen it just recently in the past month or two where celebrities, two big musicians, lots of money, you know, that was taken care of, lots of outward success, inward, they weren't loving themselves. So I'm going to read this passage from an article in Forbes that was about you. So first and foremost, Amy says, the foundation of a successful life is loving yourself. However, this isn't necessarily an easy feat. Our culture values certain aspects of self and condemns others. It's easy to love the aspects of yourself that get external approval, like being disciplined, courageous, passionate, and assertive. But loving aspects like your laziness, your tendency to blame and resent, your anger, your cowardice can be challenging. The sense of stability and fearlessness you gain from loving all of yourself, is worth the fight. And Amy says, make a commitment to fall in love with yourself the way you did before you allowed all the rules and limitations to limit your greatness. You look at kids, I've got three kids once again. They don't care what's going on outside of them. They're kids because they have that soul. How have you regained more of that in your life after this happened? And are there any kind of daily things you do, mindset thing? What do you do to help regain that and keep it?
Yeah. Well, this is the part that I love. All right. Because I literally made a commitment that if I were to survive, I was going to live basically just like the passage you just read.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a little scary for people, especially in business, right? Because we're kind of taught to be composed and humble and quiet and kind of just stay in our little spaces. Mm-hmm. Well, since I died and all, I was like, well, you know what? That I already have a crazy story. So let me at least go out and try to put it to the test.
Yep.
Because I, you know, to a certain extent, yeah, there's times where I worry about what other people think. But for the most part, if I ever fall down that trap, I'm always like, sure, you died. All right. So what I love is that I want to at least be the example, walk that path so I can show you it's so, not only is it okay, but I'm getting more success, more happiness, more vibrancy, and better relationships by doing this. So I literally, a couple things I do. When I am grateful for somebody or appreciative of them, I will tell them right there on the spot. And I will tell them literally every single day. If that's what's bursting out of my heart, I will say it. Because I don't know if they're going to be around tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Right. So I will do that. And sometimes we apply that just to people that we know or we're comfortable with. I do that in business.
That's cool.
In business. Like when I first meet people and, you know, and sometimes if I feel like it's a little weird for them, I'll just warn them. I'll be like, this is just me.
Mm-hmm.
but honestly, I've never really had to do that. Everybody has been receptive of it. People love it. Why? Because people are craving it. Mm-hmm. They're craving the kindness. They're craving in this tech world. They're craving that intimacy, even if it's just through networking.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So a couple of things that I do to really get myself in this kind of playful, high vibe state so I can even do the work that I do is, you know, I a lot of people have trouble meditating. So sometimes what I will do is I will listen to music that's like, it's, I always forget what it's called, but it's kind of aligned. There's a certain residency.
Yep.
It's like a certain megahertz or something. Have you ever heard of that?
I totally do. And there's a channel on Spotify. I totally know what you're talking about. Some sort of a rhythm or whatever, but there's a channel on Spotify that just plays music like that. It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that has been so crucial in building my brand, especially the past 2 years since everything happened. I definitely will make sure that I'm, you know, feeding my body high vibe foods. So definitely smoothies are the easiest thing. You can whip them up really quick. You know, I spend a lot of time in nature. So for me, that is my most powerful source of remembering who I am and tuning out all of this technology. Like, I will start to feel weird if I have too much of all these devices around me. I got the lamp around me right now. Like, afterwards, I'll probably go sit outside because I've learned that's what my body needs. So my suggestion is for people, when you're getting still, ask yourself, ask your body, what does it need? Because it may not be able to answer you right away, but I promise you, if you develop that as a practice every day, where you take 10 to 15 minutes, maybe even before you jump out of bed, you know, get up 15 minutes earlier and just give yourself some quiet time. All right. Before you jump out of bed, that's the easiest way to do it. If your day is too crazy, the easiest way, get the quiet time in the morning. And just make it a habit. It may feel weird in the beginning, but just do it every single day. You will start to crave those moments and you will start to magically get a sense of what we're talking about here today.
It's so important, Amy, because man, I have a mentor, highly successful person, insanely successful person. And he said one of the most important things that he did, you know, 7-8 years ago in his whole life is he scheduled in what he calls thinking time, but it's the same thing. It's his version of being still. And it's not 20 minutes here, 30 minutes there. He schedules 3 hours a week of straight up going away for blocks of time. He does it in 90 minute chunks. It's like on a Monday and Friday or whatever it was. And he's like, no phone, no email, just me and a notepad. And I go do whatever. And he said, whatever pops up in my brain, I kind of think about. And sometimes I'm just out there just being still. And he said, it's the biggest thing in his life and business. Part of it, because he clearly knows who he is. And a big part of it's because he takes those moments to think, not just absorb. The second part of it, if people are looking at like a business reason to do this, you're like, oh man, my schedule's already packed and I already don't have the time to do that. Whenever I do this, which I need to get more consistent with it, so that's something I need to work on. But whenever I do this, I always have mental breakthroughs that I never would have had if I'd have packed out with appointments. And he said too, he 10x his business over the years because of that thinking time. Because now you put the extra mental capacity and get the clutter out of the way, so you can actually think of these problems in a different way. I think it was Albert Einstein that said something about a quote of the thinking that got you into the problem isn't the same thinking that will get you out of it. So if we're in the busy mode and all this kind of stuff, and we think that continuing to be busy is going to get us out of that mindset, out of that despair, out of that business issue, it's not. Slowing down, being still is a big part of it. So people get that into their schedule, be still, start to own yourself. We've got a couple minutes here and I'd love to do a follow-up podcast with you possibly, or do something, because there's a lot that you have to share. But
thanks.
You have a book. Where can people find out more about you? Because you've written a lot and had a lot of interviews on this topic that people can dive into more. Where can people find more about you?
Yeah. So my book, it's a compilation of different near-death experience stories. You can find that. It's called God's Fingerprints, Impressions of Near-Death Experiences. That's actually right now available Kindle and paperback on Amazon. The awesome thing to do would be to go to my website, sign up for my mailing list. I have my own book coming out soon that's completely going to be about what I experienced in the afterlife during those 90 minutes that I flatlined. And it's going to have all the amazing lessons that I learned as well. A lot of those we talked about, but also there's so many more. So you can go to my website for that. But I'm very, very active on Twitter, which is at XO Sherry Amay. And by the way to spell my name, so my website is cherieamee.com, CHERIEAIMEE.com. Mm-hmm. And again, Twitter is XOCherieAmee. But yeah, if anybody has any questions or, you know, even just the confidence to really go out there, you know, I'd be more than happy to help your audience with whatever questions they have. So this was great. And I really hope some of you out there got some value in this, because it's a really important message that I'm so passionate about.
I love it. So I'm going to toss a question at you right now to kind of wrap this up. And I'm in, not unique to me, but unique to my life, you know, my life storyline here in a period where, you know, my grandfather was really close when he passed away last week, and extremely close with him. And I had the chance to talk with him on the phone Friday. And then I went down there and sat by his side for 2 hours, and he passed away the next day. And I know for me, it really, and he was an amazing man. It really made me think about that mortality. You know, it really made me think about, man, even though I'm much younger than he was, you know, of course, when he passed, what is it that's inside of me that I need to get out now, so those people around me or the people that I influence or can reach can get that message to hope to change their life? You had a message locked inside of you before you died. You came back. Yes. If you were to sit in front of someone who wasn't living life full out, what is that one thing that you can now say to them that 7 years ago you didn't think you were ever going to be able to say to them?
That I wish I had the courage before I died to do exactly what I'm doing now.
That's cool. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, guys and gals, check out Sherry. Check all of her resources. I'm sure she's on other podcasts, and I really appreciate you hopping on here with us and talking about a topic that we don't really talk about much as entrepreneurs. And I love it. Guys and gals, go out there. Please put urgency to your life. Find whatever you need to inside of yourself to find that stillness, like Sherry mentioned, on a consistent basis. Get to, you know, learn to love yourself, even if you can't find reasons why you can right now. Connect with Sherry. She has great resources and things that can help you down that path. And please go out there and just crush life. I mean, we're here for a reason. It's not just to absorb and not just to take. I know for me, like you, I get so fired up about amplifying people, about amplifying leaders, about core value on our wall, being a beacon of positivity and possibility. That's why I exist. And please, guys and gals, join that effort with Sherry and I and being that beacon in a positive way. Sherry, thanks for being on the call. Appreciate the heck out of you. Have an amazing week.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
I want to toss this question at you. After listening to that podcast episode with Sherry Amay and hearing her story, and, you know, coming from a person who actually had that experience where they went through a moment in their life, a time in their life when they thought everything was done, when they thought that there was no more time to do what they had wanted to do. There was no more time to go out there and achieve what they wanted to achieve, make the impact they wanted to make, touch the people they wanted to touch. With you, what is that? What is that thing that if you were in that last, those last days and you knew it, what are those things looking back right now that you would regret in that moment up to this point in your life? What I want you to do is I want you to write down those on a piece of paper right now. What would those things be if you had that moment like Sherry had, where she thought, she realized that she wasn't going to live much longer. She had that feeling and she went, you know what, man, I really, really lived life not quite the way I wanted to. What are those things for you? Write those down. Those should be the very, very, very first things that you do this next week in your life. Put all the business stuff aside. Put everything aside. Do those things this next week and get them done or start them. They're so, so important. Okay. Also, go check her website out. And what I'd love for you to do
is if you're not subscribed to our podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher, head over to those. Subscribe because you get each episode of the CarrotCast about 2 weeks before we put out on our blog. So you get a little bonus. You get it about 2 weeks before we put it, roll it out to everyone else. And oftentimes we put out special offers. We put out special things like with the Jack Bosch podcast, the first 20 people to make a review got a free book shipped to them. You had to pay nothing at all. Those first 20 people came from listening to it on iTunes and Stitcher, not from the blog. So make sure you're subscribed. You're going to get access to special offers and things that are likely going to be gone by the time they even make it on the blog. And that's going to be your first access to getting on our early list. And I've got my three kids here in the office with me. We're getting ready to head out and really focus on what's important as a dad, hang out with my kids. And with that, I'm going to bring McKinley on, who helped us start this episode. McKinley is going to help us close this episode out while you hear some laughing from Colton and Sydney in the background. But McKinley, do you have any words to say to kind of close this out about anything at all that you want to say? Nothing this time. She was going to talk about carrot buds. I'll do it. Yeah, she was going to talk about carrot buds. Maybe we'll schedule up a specific Carrot Cast episode where me and McKinley will talk about whatever the heck she wants to talk about, and we'll nail it. So guys and gals, go out there, find what those things would be that you would regret today if you knew that you weren't going to be here in a week, and do those. It's so important. Okay. All the leads you're going to get this week, you know, that close that deal, none of that matters in the whole scheme of things compared to those things that go on that list, right? Give us a rating and review. Let us know what you want to hear in this podcast. Email me directly at trevor@oncarrot.com. Let me know what you want to hear on this podcast, because this podcast is for you. It's not for me. Okay. It's for you, but I really, really enjoy it because I love amplifying you guys. All right. I better jet, hang out with the kids. We'll talk soon.